Live from the library, this time on Technology IQ. This is Technology IQ with Douglas E. Welch. For more information, visit the website, welchwrite.com/tech IQ. That's welchwrite.com/tech IQ.
Hello, I'm Douglas E. Welch, and this is live from the library for Technology IQ. For more information about these internet seminars, visit the website, welchwrite.com/tech IQ, which, if you're watching the video, is right down there on the bottom of the screen. You don't have to listen to my poor diction to try to figure out what I'm actually saying there. Again, welchwrite.com/tech IQ, T-E-C-H-I-Q. Thank you for joining us tonight, everyone. Everyone's here, as usual, the evening. As usual, in these classes, I have a couple things to show off, and then we will open it up for question and answer. So, first of all, tonight, and if you don't read the Technology IQ blog, if you do read it, you may recognize some of these things I'm going to show you tonight. If you don't read it, hopefully this will give you some enticement to come over and kind of watch what's going on there. These are a few things I found this week. The first thing I want to talk about is actually a piece of hardware. I don't talk about computer hardware that much, but I actually ended up having a really good experience with this particular device here. The device, actually, for those of you out in video land, let me pop up the screen for you. Let's say our desktop. There we go. Partial desktop. There we go. And there you'll see on your screen the Panasonic. It has a very odd name. It's a techie name. The Panasonic BL-PA100KTA Ethernet Adapter Starter Kit. Now, what this is, this solves a very particular problem that I've been having in some larger homes, and also in the case of the client that I detailed here, they live in a bunker, practically. I have never seen a house made like this. It is cement block, probably 2 times thick, lots of rebar, and just seems to suck up every bit of wireless network signal that the poor little router can send out. I mean, seriously, if you go, you know, kind of backwards in the house, you can get it, but the far extremes on either end and an outlying garage office, nothing. You don't even see the router. And it's not but maybe 30 or 40 feet to get to that office, but no signal. Now, I had installed before a Linksys range expander, and it's a device that uses the Wi-Fi. It uses the wireless. You put it halfway between you and your router, so that basically you get a ring of network service around the router, and then it's inside of that ring, and then it boosts the signal and makes a new ring around it and boosts it to wherever you want to be. Well, it sort of worked. It was kind of problematical. They had to keep resetting it, and it just wasn't that fast. What this device does is uses the electrical wiring in your home to extend your network. So say, for example, as in this case, they had a router. Internet came in via cable modem, hooked to a router. That router then hooks to this device. An Ethernet cable comes over, plugs into this device, and this device plugs into the wall socket for power. What it's also doing, it's also then sending the internet signal out through the wiring of the house. Then you take another one of these devices, that's why the starter kit has two. You take the other one, plug it in next to the computer you want to use the internet on, plug it into the wall, plug the Ethernet cable into your computer, and all of a sudden, you're on the internet. Yes. In the case of this, it worked very well for this particular client. I just put it in yesterday. I actually recommended it to another client today, but there are some issues where it may not work in your home. Your home has two separate power lines coming into the home, some other, you know, small things that might be happening in your home, or if there's noise in your electrical power for some reason, there's a big motor or something that's injecting noise into the line, they will not work. But in this case, it worked flawlessly, and actually you had a much faster speed connection now in this outlying office than they ever had before. I found out about this through my fellow friend and tech member, George Starcher. He is a network security expert, really, really high-end networking guy. And these are the devices he uses in his home to connect some outlying devices. Like he has an Xbox in a part of the room that has no internet. But through the wires, he's able to bring internet over to that Xbox in a corner of a room. Or at the rear of his house, he can add a wireless access point out there at the without running a line all the way back there to plug the wireless access point too. So you can actually find a network, a diagram, I should say, of George's network on his website here. If you, I call these when I write these pieces for my blog, I call them real world examples, and I've linked to his. Let me see here. I linked to his network diagram if you want to see kind of what the post is called, My Home Network. Yep, I'm a geek. Because you'll see in a second what it looks like here. It's a PDF document that's going to pop up, and you'll see just how complicated his network is at home. And that I will say that's a bit of an occupational hazard. When you do this for a living, you tend to carry along those things with you, and you end up with some fancy stuff at home, than more so than the average person might be. But here we go. There's the internet comes in, and then it goes to this Airport Extreme, and then it goes off to a wireless bridge, and then there's the Panasonic. There's a little extender that goes back to, you know, this room and back to the rear part of the house and probably covers his yard, I'm going to guess, and so on and so forth. So you can see how they might be used. So if you have an outlying area in your home that's having trouble with the wireless, this might be an answer. Now, this is designed, the remote end has an Ethernet cable. It's a wired connection, but you could just as easily say you had a room that you wanted to have wireless in, like, say, in the backyard. Well, you could put this in a room facing the rear part of your house, plug a wireless access point into it, and suddenly have wireless covering the entire backyard, if you like. It's just a real generic network connection, so you can use it for anything. Either plug it directly into a computer or plug it into any other network device, such as wireless or whatever, to have out there. So that's number one today. Check that out, and you can get there's links and everything. There's a link to the product on Amazon on Technology IQ, and you can find it there as well. Second, and again, this is also covered, that's also on Technology IQ, is we've talked about Google Docs. This is the Google Office suite, if you will, online. And for a majority of my clients, I'm finding that I think a lot of them would have no reason to buy Microsoft Office. I think that probably 90% of my clients could probably use Google Docs and fulfill all their needs. Because the fact is, we all use a fraction of what's in Google Office. what's in Microsoft Office. Even as a computer geek, I use 10% of Microsoft Word, 10% of Microsoft Excel. You don't catch me doing pivot tables and linear regressions and everything. Now, some people do, and that's fine, but your average person just doesn't. Well, in Google Docs, they added a new feature this week, which is a series of templates that you can use to start documents. So if we go up here under the new menu, I just went to docs.google.com. I go up here under the new menu, and we'll see now we can create a new document, a new spreadsheet, a new presentation, like a PowerPoint presentation. Also, we can say From Template. If we click on the From Template, it takes us to the template library. And they're divided up. You can look at all types of templates, templates for documents, templates for spreadsheets, template for presentations, whichever you're deciding to work on. But here's like a letterhead, a business plan, business cards, resumes, research papers. Here's some presentation templates for doing, you know, PowerPoint style presentations, invitation cards, so on and so forth. And if you want to use that template, all you do, so I'm going to go ahead and click on this letterhead here. You simply, actually, I clicked on the document's going to preview it. And what I wanted to do was actually click on the, I'm going to stop that. I wanted to click on use this template. And it starts a new document, calls it copy of, and the template name you gave it. And there it is. And we can simply start. You know, and just start filling it in and do whatever with that document we care to do. There's a little logo at the bottom. Actually, that's called Greek. It's Greek text. It's not actual Greek. It's a, and this actually doesn't even look, Well, I guess it is. It is traditionally Greek stuff. Yeah. Oh, lorem ipsum. It's a fake Latin, is what it is. It's used by layout people, used by printers and stuff to have text to lay something out before they have the actual text that's going to go there, and get an idea of what it's going to look like. But you'll hear it as lorem ipsum is how it's usually. Yeah, lorem ipsum dolor sit dament. Yeah, it's just gobbledygook, but it reflects the qualities of real text. So you can even come down here and say, okay, let me put my, you know, of course helps if you do it right. Okay. I can come down here and select the company street and say, you know, street name, city, state, zip, fill it out and make it my letterhead, if you will. So highly recommended, go ahead and play around with that. There's some really nice... Now up here, of course, it's called the document copy of Cityscape Letterhead. Well, if you want to, you can rename this document anytime simply by clicking on it and say, you know, we'll call this Douglas's Letterhead.
Where did you go to change it?
I clicked on the name up here of that it had given the document. Oh, it then pops up and says, oh, okay, and now you see it changed the name of the document. So now if I save and close this document over here on the right, in my list of documents, you'll now see Douglas's Letterhead. Now, as another example, I'm actually working on a presentation I'm going to be giving in November, and so I kind of have this presentation document open, and as I think of things that I want to put in this presentation, I just sort of make a slide and drop stuff in. And so this is the presentation model for Google Docs, if you needed to do we can actually say, let me see here, how do I do this? Start presentation, boom, boom, boom. An interesting thing about Google Docs, too, is you can actually have people watching online while you're giving the presentation. That's what this column on the right is. You can send them a link and say, watch me give this presentation, and they'll actually see as you page through the slides. But there's a slide I'm working on for about microphones.
Oh.
So just some of the power that's in Google Docs. I'm finding it, you know, pretty darn neat. I'm sorry, what do you want me to click on?
Never mind. I just wanted you to click on the business card.
Yeah. Now, business cards are tricky because printing them is tricky.
Can't you just get the prefix?
I'm going to guess that template, if they're really done a good job, the template is probably based on a standard Avery template, which is what I use when I print my own cards. And that makes it a little bit easier. There's still some fiddling to do with your printer. You shouldn't have to adjust it too much, but
no,
figuring out which way does it go in, face up, face down, front, back, side.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It looks like the 10 up, although, I don't know. Bottom margin's kind of high, so I'm not sure. It does not in this. So, yeah, you might have to play around with that a little bit. I prefer, because I've had such trouble in the past, I do prefer having a template that's supposed to work with the Avery labels in that case. Okay, so there is Google Docs and the new templates feature of Google Docs. And, actually I got two more things. This one's a quick one, Sendable.com. This is a new beta service. Sendable allows you to pre-schedule announcements to be sent via email, SMS, or through various social networks like Twitter. I believe Twitter. I know Facebook for sure. So I can come in here and I can say, live from the library, and it's going to be, when's the next date? August
10th?
August 10th or something
is this
like that.
E-invite type thing?
It's not really, because this doesn't send any invite. It literally sends a message.
Oh, okay.
It's in this case, it's going to send an email at noon or whatever I set it here to, and say, and whatever text I paste in will be emailed.
Like you can send us saying, don't forget.
Yep.
Thursday,
mm-hmm.
blah, 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 August.
Yep.
But you don't normally have your email addresses there. I mean, it's not like in one of your email programs where all your
you can import your contacts, I believe. Let me see if I believe I was able to do that. Typically now, one of the good things is if you're using Gmail, you can actually import your contacts from Gmail or other web-based mail services. And so I'm able to kind of slurp my mail list, my contacts list, into other programs. Now, I don't see it right off the top here, so maybe not. They haven't. If they're going to need to add that, but they don't have it added right now. But that is something you'll find in other services. The nice thing is your computer doesn't have to be turned on or anything. It just does it on its own and sends it out. And finally, I wrote an article today, a couple days ago, about Are you getting the internet speed you're paying for? Okay. One of the things you should do on occasion, especially if it's feeling a bit pokey, is to go to this website, and I'll spell it out. It's speakeasy.net, speakeasy.net/speed test. And that brings up this little screen here where it gives you a series of cities to choose from. What you want to do is choose the city closest to you. In this case, we'll choose Los Angeles. When we click on it, it's going to do a speed test. Now, this test I'm doing right now is not going to be that valid because there's a ton of other people using it, and I'm streaming it video live, and so it will definitely be slower than you would expect. Now, what I will find, though, is actually it's about twice as fast as it was when I did it about a half hour ago.
Oh, twice as fast?
It's almost twice as fast. It's still not the perkiest. But your internet speeds change over time. Perhaps fewer people are using it right now. Perhaps there was a problem with the line that's kind of worked itself out. Maybe there was static on the line or something like that. So typically at home, I'm getting here 745 down and 134 kilobits per second up. Typically at home, you want to get 1.5 megabits per second or 1,500.
1.5?
Yeah, or 1,500 if you want to keep it in the same numbers. 1,500 down and 384 up. That's kind of your standard DSL speeds. Cable modems might be much higher with that, and higher price DSL can be much higher than that. Here at the library, we're getting better than we were doing a while ago, but it's still nothing that perky. Now again, the results of this are not that valid. You want to be doing this test when there's nothing else going on your network, which isn't hard if you're the only computer on the network, then you know, as long as you're not downloading something while you're running the test, it should be a fairly valid test of what you're doing. Yes?
When I was watching the Eckhart Tolle Oprah Winfrey thing for those 10 months for the whole world watching, it only got up to like 800.
800, what do you?
The down thing.
No, but that was showing you that's actually how much bandwidth it was taking up right now. Right. And that's because we compressed the video. If you watch this video and you have a little network speed detector running like I do at home, you'll see it'll do this depending on how complicated the image is and how many frames it's sending. So they were limited.
Yeah.
You want to limit it because you don't want to overload people. But that's detecting how fast a piece of information is coming down to you. This test is a raw test of the physical line right now, how it's configured.
Oh, okay.
The kind of you'll never get the theoretical top, but you should get somewhere close to it.
Top means 1,500.
1,500 and 384 down.
What's up and down? I don't understand.
You can download stuff faster than you can upload it. That's why if you notice it's not just DSL, your forms will say ADSL, asynchronous DSL. It's faster coming down than it is going up. They do that to prevent you from running servers at home, running services at your home, basically anything that requires sending a lot of data up to the network. They do that to protect their networks and you know, so they don't get overloaded, basically.
Which isn't anything we ever
worried
about. Let's say I had like 350 on the up.
350 on the up would be fine, because 384 is fairly typical for a home DSL connection.
But what if you have 500 on the up?
Then you're doing better.
Oh,
you're doing good.
Better,
yes,
okay.
Yeah. The faster, the higher the number, the better off you are.
Okay.
At home with Time Warner cable, I get around. I think I'm not on the highest tier. I think I get between 3 and 6 down. 3,000 to 6,000 down.
3,000 what?
3,000 to 6,000 down, and about 784 up, I think.
784 up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, and if you pay more, you can get higher speeds too.
I'll have to go home and check because I'm Time Warner too. If you have wireless versus wired, is it going to, in your different computers, is it going to
I have not, in the old days it did because the wireless was somewhat slow. I find that most times today the wireless is nearly as fast as a wired connection. The wired connection is going to be theoretically faster, but I think the wireless is certainly close enough to it that the average person isn't going to notice, as long as you've got a nice, clean wireless signal. If you have a ratty signal, it's like you're at the back of the house and it's kind of in and out, it's going to slow down if you do that. But if you have a fairly good signal in your wireless, it should be almost as fast as wired.
You made a comment when I said Netgear. Do you have a suggestion for other than Netgear?
I'm a Linksys man. Yeah, I like Linksys. Part of that is because I know how to configure them. I know how they work. I know which devices to recommend for people. The D-Link and the Netgear, they're an unknown to me, so I'm less likely to use them. But I do configure them, and I do set them up for people who've gone out and bought them. The machine, the home I worked at today had a D-Link router. You know, so it's, and we hooked up a Linksys range expander. So you can do all that stuff. You just got to get a little creative sometimes. Someone, a Ustreamer, someone who's in here as a guest watching tonight, said that they got 5186 download, 344 upload, and that's... they're in the UK, and they used a New York server to get that. So they've got a really good connection. Now, what I'm hearing is, too, Europe is much further ahead of us on internet speeds than we are here in the US. It's easy to get a 6 megabit per second connection in Europe. Where here, you know, it, you have to pay more for it. It's harder to get, stuff like that. So. There's Fios now. Well, T1 is interesting. T1s used to be the end-all, be-all for everyone. Oh, I want a T1. They're about $400 or $500 a month. They're only 1.5 megabits a second down, 1500, you know, down, but they're equal up. They are symmetrical. That's what it is. You get the same speed up and down. And so people running services and stuff, that's what you needed to be able to send data out to the world if you were running a web server. Although today you can actually get faster download speeds via cable or DSL. You can go up to a different thing called a T3, which is thousands of dollars a month, which is 45 megabits a second down and up. So, I mean, that's a big pipe, we call it. That's a big pipe. Sky Broadband EasyNet out of the UK. Thank you. And was that it? I think that was it for my stuff tonight. So we talked about the new Panasonic power, they call them power line adapters. They use the power lines in your home to bridge the internet. We talked about Google Docs having templates now. We talked about Sendable, which is just one of those new services. I try out all the new services that come up just to see, you know, what might be useful, what might be interesting. People often say, well, how do you do all this stuff? Like, most services I look at and I never look at again. It's just I try them out and say, you know, is this something that could be a big benefit in my life? And if it isn't, I let it go. And the last one was doing a speed test. And by the way, there are various speed test websites out there. You can do a search in Google on speed test and internet speed test, and you get 100 different ones. This is just one that I happen to remember off the top of my head. And it has some flashy graphics, so that makes it nice, too. At that point, we will just open it up for question and answer tonight.
I want to share something before I ask a question.
Share away.
I found a neat site. It's called genie.com.
Ah, I've actually showed that here one night.
Oh, you did?
Maybe you weren't here that night.
No,
yeah, genie.com, genealogical site.
Like off to the right and left.
I'm hearing a lot of people. There's a lot of families who are really kind of
G-E-N-I
and playing around with it a lot and getting a lot of data in there. And in fact, because what was I just saying? I was saying I try out everything. So
yeah.
Let's see if I remember my login. Come here. 3, 2, 1. Did I remember it? Hey, there it is. let's see here. Do I, tree. I think I only got a couple people in here, but let's see.
Oh, yeah. I had one sister-in-law who said, you know, I'm afraid to do that because I don't want my information out there on the internet. So I did all this research on it. And it's really pretty safe. Only the people in your own family.
You have to invite people, or you can make it public. So yeah, here's mine, and I can drag it around, and zoom in and zoom out on it. Yeah, a lot of people are you know, having fun with it.
And if you click on a person's name, then it brings up a profile sheet. You can write, you know,
right,
something about your great grandmother that you enjoyed.
So there's my profile. It's 50% complete.
Uh-huh.
Birth date, you know, joined on January 17th, 2007. Oh, and it has a timeline. I was born in 1964. Shh, don't tell anybody.
He's an old geek.
I'm an old geek. Oh, that's what's scary, though. I mean, I am. I'm very much, when I go to various events around town, I am one of the oldsters of the groups.
When you go where?
And when I'm going to the tech events in town, I'm the oldster. I'm one of the oldsters. I mean, there's some older people, like, in their 60s, but they're, like, two of them, one or two of them. But I'm very much getting,
really?
I'm on the downside of that bell curve.
Listen, when I see people that were born, and I'd already been out of high school,
That's like me seeing someone who was born in 1988. That's kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
You're talking to someone on the phone, and they just sound like they're your age, and you're old enough to be their mother.
Yeah.
You know, or their father.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Yep. I could have a kid your age. That's the scary one.
I know.
I could have a kid your age. I said that. Upload to, upload photos. I'm just, basically, all these different services have the ability to upload a photo. So it's good. It's good to have a photo hanging about that you can easily pop up there. And so I have this, you've seen this one, this, call it DEW-Smile. And that was actually a webcam grab. I had the webcam running while I was recording a show with a friend, and it just happened to snap that picture. And so I grabbed that, and I use that for my profile picture.
Yeah, you keep that picture so that it's easily...
It's on the web, so I can refer to it directly, or on this computer I have it just laying on the desktop.
Oh, speaking of pictures...
Yes, ma'am.
If you have... Like, I downloaded some pictures from a flash...
Mm-hmm. So now my genie has my picture on it now. There you go.
Oh, okay.
So
if you go to the right or the left, you can choose the ex, mother, or husband's, wife, brother, sister.
Siblings, yep. I got all my siblings.
Does that mean you've done that?
I started doing it.
I got my four siblings in here. Yeah. But now my brother has four or five kids now. I haven't put his in there. Exactly. That's my brother. My younger brother.
But everybody else is with a D.
Yes.
That's why I said.
I asked my mother. She said we couldn't find a D name we liked.
You're kidding.
No, he's the youngest. Oh, so he ended up with a C name instead.
We're Judy, Jeffrey, Jimmy, Jay, and Joel.
Oh, there you go. It must have been.
Really? Yeah. I used to babysit for Judy and Jeffrey. And for Jody, Jerry, and Jay. And Judy and Jimmy.
So that is a. That is a great find. And. Fun to play around with. I've seen people on Twitter playing around with it more, you know, saying, oh, I just put everything in Genie and we're talking about connected up with these cousins and blah, 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 and, you know, did all that stuff. So it's definitely a fun little site.
And I did some research and it's very safe, so that was
cool.
What I found.
Yeah, you can keep it limited to just the people you invite to see it, yeah. I tend to live my life publicly, so it's kind of like,
whatever,
it's out there, you know, that's what I say. Go to my website and learn more about me than you ever wanted to know. Go to my friend feed. I talked about friend feed the other night. You can see, I started doing the career tips I've been doing via Twitter. I do a daily career tip. Just, you know, Twitter's only 140 characters. You got to be kind of, you know, terse. So I started doing those a couple weeks ago. And yesterday I started doing career tips on Seismic. Seismic, the video chat service.
Oh, okay.
I started doing the same career tips, but in video on Seismic. And you can, I've actually created a whole nother ID for them. If I spell it right. And you can follow career tips on Seismic or follow career tips on Twitter or friend feed and actually get these daily career tips. I say daily. They're pretty much daily. I may skip a day every so often, but they're pretty much daily. So here's today's. If it'll play it, come on. We'll play. There we go. Hey, I know that guy.
Hi, I'm Douglas E. Welch, and this is your career tip for July 24th, 2008. One of the biggest ways you can improve your career is by gaining more information and more skills. One great way to do that is visit the podcast over at itconversations.com. Again, that's itconversations.com. You'll find great shows, sessions from some of the most famous conferences out there that you might not otherwise be able to attend. Again, itconversations.com. For more information on career tips, visit the website, welchwrite.com/career, welchwrite.com/career.
You're getting to be like Big Brother. You're just like
everywhere. I'm everywhere. I am ubiquitous.
Where is this now? Where is this on Twitter?
This is on Seismic, and we've showed Seismic a couple nights ago, and it's open for everybody now. When I showed it was still a closed beta, but now it's a video chat service. People basically talk and they have conversations back and forth using little video clips, and you can join a conversation and talk to other people and talk about whatever you want.
Are you the only one under career? I mean, under.
I created the user ID Career Tips, so I got
that's
so that's
you.
That's me,
okay.
And you can also find that Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, it's also Career Tips, and if you follow me on Friend Feed, it's also Career Tips. That's my username for these particular things. If you want to follow me on Twitter as me or as Friend Feed as me, you know, my whole my Doug feed. On Twitter, it's D.E. Welch. And on Friend Feed, it's Douglas Welch. I'm switching over to using Douglas Welch for everything, but in that case, I created that Twitter account before I started using it everywhere. So it's still D.E. Welch. That's just my initials. So this is Seismic again. Again, they're talking about someone made their first video in Seismic. Someone's talking about last night's storm. Someone posted a YouTube video of George Carlin. Oh, it's hundreds of people. I can jump in any of these threads. It's like we're all sitting at a big party, and someone says something, and you can say something back, and someone can say something about what you said to them, and it's just...
As long as you get good people going, otherwise...
You know, the timeline varies, and it's quality over time.
Okay, when you're doing that, do they know... Can they get back to you?
Yeah, it's all threaded out. So the conversation maintains a thread. So, for example, if we click on... Let's click on Frida. I know Frida. These are actually two of the people I am following now.
Hey, Victor, welcome to Seismic. My name is Frida. I would like to be first to welcome you. You're going to like to hear talk a lot.
She was there, this is 28 minutes ago. I'm a page down in the timeline. But yeah, she was, 28 minutes ago. She was like a few seconds after they posted theirs, she posted hers. And
What is she talking about?
They're talking about, they're basically welcoming a new person who's joined up and just posted their first video. That's what it seems like. But down here I can click on conversation, and I can actually see the whole conversation that went on from the first message to the current one.
He does.
I don't know.
So here's Hector's first video, 32 minutes ago.
Hello, friends from Seismic. My name is Hector Sanchez from Guadalajara, Mexico. This is my first video in English in Seismic. So hopefully I'm able
to... You can have other languages, too, so you can decide to follow English, Spanish, French. A lot of French people, because the founder and owner is French. His name is Loic.
Thanks for taking time to watch my...
So I could sit here and go through the whole conversation and see everything that was discussed. He has a headphone on because he's using a headset microphone, which some people do use. Typically, if you're using Skype or something like that, that's one of the more comfortable ways, if you're talking with relatives or something, to have have the earphones on. You want the headphones on if you're doing real-time chat. You don't need it for Seismic, but if you're doing real-time phone calls to people, you can get an echo. If you're not wearing headphones, they can hear themselves be picked up by your microphone and then spit back, and you can get a feedback loop. And so headphones are a way of just working around that. And they can be earbuds or a headset like that. It doesn't really matter. As long as you're stopping their end of the conversation, going back into your mic and then back out to them and around and around and around. It's the same feedback you might get at a rock concert, just in a different fashion.
When it seemed when computers first came out, it was pretty anonymous. I mean, nobody really could see anybody or talk to anyone. And now it's coming back to like the more impersonal type of thing.
Seismic is one of those things that is hyper personal because it's video. You are putting yourself out there, and it's you.
Why do so many people have the need to do that? Is it like everybody wants to be a movie star or something?
No, in this, Seismic's all about communication. Seismic is all about conversations. It's all about talking with other people. I met a bunch of people from the UK via Seismic that I have developed a relationship with now. Next time I go to UK, I'm going to meet these people. That's going to be on the, that'll be on the list. Got to go see Nick. Got to go see Danya. Got to,
Which is a good thing because Nick will take you over to here where you never would have been.
Exactly. It's always great having people in the air. It's like when we go to visit the family in Sicily. We're going to be better because they can take us to all the places that no one really knows about. We were just watching the public timeline, and we were just everyone was talking one night, and I saw his post, and I liked his post, and I liked him, so I just started following what he was doing and what he was saying, and we just started conversing over Seismic. I have no idea what we were discussing about. It could be something as simple, as silly as, I did a silly video one night, because, late at night, everyone tends to be sitting around drinking, usually.
Oh, really?
I don't know if I can even find this video because I did it ages ago.
I want to see it. Aren't there some Doug Welch's right there?
These are all mine. I'm looking back. I'm going back into time.
Do those have dates on them?
I get relative dates like 4 months ago. I'm now 4 months ago. Oh, I wonder, can I search? Oh, there's supposed to be a search. On the actual video, if I brought a video up, I think it does give me more information.
So it's different than, let's say, something like YouTube, or different than...
Yes, it's much more conversational. Now, on YouTube, you can have conversations on YouTube, too. You can post video comments to a video. So you can, and there actually is a lot of communication going on YouTube. Seismic kind of puts it in that Twitter vein of things. Oh, this is...
I can't read those, but are those titles?
Yeah, those are all titles.
There's a fun with video.
Fun with video.
Not fun with them.
No one has fun with me. Oh. Come on.
I'm
old grouchy old cuss. That's me.
Oh. That's what you drink at night, right?
Yeah. This must have been...
Friends at Night. There was a Friends at Night one.
Just a very silly...
What did you title it, though? Is it Drunken Night? Or?
No, it's not that. It's a little montage. It's a little music video is what I did. Just on the spur of the moment.
Oh,
jeez.
Wake up, UK people.
Yeah, that's how I met the UK people. I'm always on late at night, and they're always on, they're just coming in early. And so I made the joke one night with Nick. Oh, that's actually how Nick and I really started to talk. Mm-hmm. Is I made the joke, I said, "Morning, Sam." "Morning, Ralph." The sheepdog and the wolf's cartoon. It's one of his favorite cartoons. So we posted a YouTube video of one of them. That's our traditional greeting now.
Say a bunch of clones or a bunch of clowns?
A bunch of clones, actually, it says.
Okay. Yeah, the only problem is if you go there, you're a late night person. They're morning people.
He is such the morning person, too. Nick comes into the room and he's like, "Hi, everybody." It's like, oh, my God. He's a computer person in the UK. Oh, I think I'm going to have to.
He's been on there a lot.
Oh, there's his first seismic, or whatever you call that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. It happened after that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that was, there's actually a post in there that says, "What should I demonstrate to my class tonight?" So does anyone else have something they've discovered neat, like Jeannie?
I have questions, though.
Ask away.
I have two that have to do with getting rid of things. Every time I sign on to Mozilla Firefox, mm-hmm. I get a login screen from Yahoo. It says mail login. Mm-hmm. And I have to cancel. It always pops up as I'm logging on. And I don't have the Yahoo toolbar.
No, but your home page is set to Yahoo Mail.
But I never used to get that before. Never had that.
Something got turned on.
And I want it turned off because it's just annoying.
Now, do you use Yahoo for your mail?
No, I don't.
Is the first page that pops up Yahoo?
Yahoo is my homepage.
Yeah, change your homepage to something else.
You won't get the Yahoo sign in?
Shouldn't, because there's a reason you're getting it. I'm guessing the reason you're getting it is because you are you're hitting that Yahoo mail page as your homepage.
What's a good homepage besides
that? Whatever. I actually do not have one.
Oh.
Mine comes up to blank, because I never know where I want to go, and so I just said, there's actually an option that says use blank, and it just comes up with an empty white page, and then you decide to go where you want to go. A lot of times, too, I'm simply clicking on a link to go somewhere, and so I don't want it.
I like to see the news and things when I first come mm-hmm. up and see what's happening.
Yeah, there's lots of different sites out there. There really are. Yeah, obviously I have done way too many seismic videos. I cannot find it, but
obviously.
I need a search. I need a search. Search a user. I can't search. I don't think I can search the videos yet, unfortunately. Oh, darn. But it was cute. Just something silly that kind of shows, shows one of the silly uses of seismic. But I tend to be on later at night because I really don't have time during the day to do a lot. Now that I'm doing the career tips, I do like to hover a little bit after I post a career tip just to see if anyone has any responses or questions or anything afterwards. So, one more try here. Any other questions?
This is my other getting rid of things.
Yes.
You want to go first? Go ahead.
Well, but mine doesn't have anything to do with any of that.
Oh.
So go ahead. You go.
Okay. It's a word question. I'm doing a project right now. I have to do an art project that has to do with the Tower of Babel. Anyway, I've made copies of different languages. It's funny, you were talking about languages before. Different, what they look like, Chinese and different things. And I'm going to somehow incorporate that into the art project. The Tower of Babel. And some of the things that I copied, there's a line around it, and I'm trying to just, and I can't when I paste it into another one, because I want to print off pages of just the different languages, I keep getting that line of the thing that I copied, and I can't get out of... I can't.
How are you copying? How are you selecting it to copy it?
I guess Control-C, you know?
But how,
I highlight something, and then...
How are you highlighting, and what... You mean, you're just...
It's funny, from the same text, some of the things are fine, and other things have that line around it. And I can't seem to get rid of the line or to copy just the language part without the line around it.
It's possible the line is actually, could that be a graphic? Things that have a line around them or pictures rather than text?
It's actually a line around the...
Like a border?
You know,
yeah.
Like Greek writing. It was like a border.
Yeah, that makes me think it might be a picture. Can you edit, can you grab the text inside of that?
I can't. That was the problem.
It's a picture then. And so when you're whatever you're pasting it into, it's showing you a border on the picture.
The ones right above it might be another language, and there I can highlight just the part I need about getting that line.
Yeah, there's something different in the way they're being displayed.
Or maybe the way whatever I copied, maybe I copied.
Well, it's like, you know, one's a picture, one's not. You can still copy and paste it. It's just they're going to come in different ways in whatever program you're pasting them into. What program are you pasting them into?
I actually was taking it from a Word document to a Word document, but just taking out the parts I needed. I didn't need, you know, like there'd be something that would say Babel on it, and I didn't need the Babel part. I just needed the lettering.
Almost sounds like perhaps you're making a text box in the new document, because there's something that's putting a border around it. Mm-hmm. It could be just that sometimes you can grab the formatting along with the text from a web page. Like if you copy a headline that's red and paste it into Word, it'll come up red in that font. Mm-hmm. What you might try to do is select the area and then, under Word, there's a way, under the format menu, it's like plain text or remove all formatting or revert formatting or something like that. Select what you want to revert and then you choose that command and it might revert it and get rid of this border that's cropped up and stuff like that. Yeah, that can sometimes happen too with Word. It'll take the formatting of the thing you copied. Mm-hmm. I need to keep reminding me to go back to the chat room here. So yes.
Okay, when you're in My Pictures, on my old computer, My Picture Listings. Are those your picture listings?
I'm in Vista though, so it's going to look a little different.
Okay, but anyway.
These are in folders as well.
But I used to be able to click on one of those and the picture would actually show up.
Change your view. At the top, in the menus across the top, there will be a Views menu or a View menu. And there will be one called View as, I want to say, Thumbnails.
Oh, yes.
Or View as Slideshow. There will be a couple choices when you're in a folder that has pictures in it that you don't see otherwise. And so play around with those views.
Oh, okay.
And that'll change the way that window is viewed.
I couldn't figure out why I didn't have that anymore. Or even the slideshow thing.
Yeah, I believe that sounds like what you're looking for. Medium icons.
You save.
Yeah, I'm using Vista here, so it's slightly different, but that option should be should be around there. Okay?
Thank you.
A pesky thing. There's all computer. Oh, trust me, computer stuff lately has been all pesky for me.
It's always pesky. I go onto eBay.
How dare you?
By the way, wasn't there something I'm mentioning about Google? There's something in the news today about Google acquiring or something. I don't know. Some connection with Google. When you mentioned Google before.
For eBay?
No.
They're thinking of buying Dig. That was the last thing that's going on right now. Dig.com, yeah.
What's that?
It's a online news rating site. You can post and then you can vote it up or vote it down and stuff like that.
But anyway, so if I sign on to eBay on my laptop computer and I sign in, I can go and do whatever I want and it doesn't kick me off or anything else. When I go on my desktop computer, I do a couple of things and all of a sudden I have to sign in again all the time. It's always going back to the sign-in thing. And I thought there's some sort of setting. I've called eBay on it and they said, well, that's just a security thing we have set in, but it doesn't happen on my other computer. And so I just think it's some setting.
Are you still logged in on eBay on the other computer?
No.
I ran into it too. It's hard to say why. Basically, the page is expiring. In the time you're sitting there looking at it, the page is timed out, and they want to verify that you are still who you are.
They said clean out your cache and your cookies. So
you can try that.
But it isn't that.
That one's a hard one. I don't have any definitive answer for you.
Tweak or anything,
nah. I'm sure there is, but I have no idea what it will be. I would have to literally play with settings and see. Might be worth researching online, but not something I know off the top of my head.
Sometimes you have to figure out how to word it so you can search for it.
That is the problem. That is figuring out the right question to ask is always the hardest part. Yeah. And I've run into that several times. So I'm trying to solve an esoteric problem. It's like, well, what should I call this?
But you learn a lot of other things that you didn't expect to.
Yeah. And often, if you just get close, then it helps too, because you hit something that's close, go, oh, maybe that's it, and then you kind of leads. The whole important thing in solving problems is getting more information, because if you don't have the information, you're just kind of poking blindly at the problem. Having some issues at an office, and we're just doing scientific method. Change that. Did that help? No. Did it help? Yes. If so, make the next hypothesis. Test that hypothesis. Just scientific method again and again and again until you find out what the problem is. You have to do it by process of elimination, because you don't have the information on the other end saying, oh, it's this. So you got to be a little more creative about it. Yes?
This will be my last one.
No.
Okay. I had the flash drive. I actually wrote this question down 2 or 3 times ago and didn't ask it, so now I'm not quite sure why, but when I have my flash stick or flash drive or whatever you call it.
Yes, ma'am. Your flash drive.
I pull up the My Computer thing.
Don't do that. Yes.
And it shows me all my drives. All right. D, E, and F type. How do I know which is which? What's what? When there's nothing there.
I'll show you a trick.
Oh, good.
When you plug in your flash drive, there is a trick. The trick is rename your flash drive to something you know.
Like what?
Mine is called Welch 1.
Oh, name flash drive.
So that when you put it in...
Where do you name it, though?
I'll show you.
Okay.
If you go to My Computer, or My Computer on Vista, you'll see that here's the drive right here, Welch 1. I know that's the flash drive because I've named it that name. If I want to rename a drive, I can click on it. Let me see here. Right click and say rename. That's probably the easiest way to do it. Every disk you create has a label, and that's all that is. It's just a label. You can change it there, so when you stick this in, it doesn't matter what letter it comes up as, you'll see the name and know that's the drive I want. So.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't matter if I click on E or F or whatever.
The drive letter does not matter. The drive letters are assigned at boot time, and then as you insert stuff after that. So in my case, on this machine, the first thing I insert is always going to be G, because I have an E drive, which is my DVD. It's always going to be F or G. This drive has two drives on it, and it takes up two letters. That's why here you see F is the U3 system and G is Welch 1. These are both on this same drive. It's the way this drive came formatted, and I've just never gotten rid of it. I need to, though. This is some software to use with the drive that automatically mounts up and see how it looks like a CD.
But that doesn't equate.
No, if you just have the one stick, then it doesn't really matter what drive letter it is.
How do you know when you see it? To rename it.
She goes through and clicks on things. And it also gets tricky if you have a card reader in your machine where there's like four different... Each one of those gets a drive letter. If you have two drives, you get drive letters.
That's why I hate it.
If you have an external drive, you get drive letters. Yeah, you can...
Okay, now, when I'm going to go name this...
Flash drive, or right here.
Am I sticking it into my computer and then naming it, or am I just...
Well, watch what happens when I...
Gone. Oh, I guess I'm good.
Exactly. When you take it out, it disappears. Removable devices literally disappear from that list.
How would she know that one versus, I guess,
That's always the trick, too. If you really don't know which one it is, bring the computer, My Computer window up, stick in the drive, and watch. See, there's the F drive, and then this little window came up. It's already used by Windows. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to fiddle with it, and exactly, you just got to say, what changed? If I'm looking at this window, what changed?
Yeah.
And that'll tell you what drive it is, too.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. This is what I'm here for. I'm going to eject this. Eject. My head comes out about, three times smaller by the time we're done.
You taught us to be so brave in here that we're not afraid to
try
new things.
Good.
One day, I can't remember the example, but I said, I'm just going to take this out. And I took it out and nothing worked.
And it screamed at you. It said, you can't eject this drive. It's in use. Stick it back. Put it back. And you'll hear me say to people, put it back. Put it back. It's like young Frankenstein. Put the candle back. You know, typically that's the typical thing you get there is you're installing something from a CD. And you take the drive out before it's ready to let go of it. And it'll say, where'd my drive go? Just drop it back in and shut the door. It'll continue on from there. Yeah, typically. But yeah, it basically means you actually ejected something that the computer was still actively using. Again, no harm, no foul. Typically not going to cause any issues. If you eject one of these or an external hard drive without ejecting it with the menu, it'll sometimes complain at you and say, well, you should eject this in the proper way. And yes, you should eject it in the proper way, but chances are you probably did nothing to the...
You're not going to crash.
You're not, unless you had a file open or something, you're probably going to be okay with that. Okay?
I have something else to share.
Uh-oh, you're sharing. We're sharing here tonight.
I got a new Hewlett-Packard printer that can perform wirelessly, even though everything else is wired.
Yes, very nice.
And so even though I have my main computer wired because I was able to figure out somehow, I couldn't believe when it worked, I have the other computer done wirelessly, and it worked. I mean, it was easy, and it wasn't that hard. It was just a matter of unplugging it from the printer and putting it in there while you loaded it. But then I unplugged it, and what did you just say? I don't know, but he understood exactly.
He did, yep. I know.
And these are great things. I have a client who raises guide dogs to be. She raises the puppies that might go into the guide dog training programs. And you can imagine her household is a rambunctious place with lots of doggies, big doggies jumping around and breaking stuff. And the last time I went over to fix her printer a few years ago, I said, when this printer dies, we're getting you a wireless printer, and we're putting it up there. Because the dogs would bang into it and stuff. The only cord required is the power cord, because then it utilizes the wireless network you already have in your home to connect to the network, and therefore all the PCs connected to the network can then see that printer.
So your wireless computer?
Well, I don't. My computers
can
are
off.
My computers are. Yeah, my wireless computer.
The wired computer can all. Because once that device joins your network, it does not matter how this computer or that computer is connected to the network. It only matters that it's connected to the network. And so once you're on the network, whether wirelessly or wired, that device, you'll take the printer disk, you slide it in and say, are you setting up this printer on this computer? Are you talking to this printer locally or network? And you say, network. And he goes, hold on. And he goes, think. Here's all the network printers I found. Which one would you like to choose? I want that one. Okay, and it does a whole install, and it knows that printer is out there on the network somewhere. And in really good network wireless printers that are multifunction, that have scanners and stuff, or card readers in them, you can actually access that over the network. You can walk over, drop sheets into the scanner, then walk to your computer and say, scan that, and it'll suck it in,
really?
Push it over to your machine.
Okay, it's not plugged into your computer.
Nope, not at all.
So you can leave your other printer plugged into your computer.
Yes.
Oh my
God. You toy. Well, actually, I have my main computer. I have it wired to it. It doesn't have to be, but I just feel great.
You can.
I'm
not
that brave,
right?
But I want to take everything.
Well, if you're right next to it, there's no reason not
to,
really.
Yeah, it's right next to it. But the other one, I put print. I'm in the other room, and it was the laptop, and it just printed in the other room. And it was like magic. And I thought,
it's like magic.
Okay, because he taught me not to be afraid.
New toy.
What is it?
Hewlett Packard.
Wireless printer.
It does scanning and everything else.
I already have one, and I think it is Hewlett Packard, but it's a.
I can just
leave
it
plugged into my desktop, and have this just for now. Get this, and then my laptop will print on that.
Yeah. Now your laptop
has that capability.
Yeah.
What capability?
Well, she buys a new printer that is wireless. Yeah.
No, a new wireless.
Well, you would need a new wireless printer though.
That's what I'm talking
about. Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
and then we hook it up to your wireless. Yes.
Both.
Yes, you can have both. And actually, right now, if you wanted to print on your existing printer, you can share the printer that's plugged into the one PC. Your remote PC, your laptop, or whatever would see it and would print through your computer to that existing printer.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
See, but I can't get my Netgear.
We got to get your network back in place so that you can have all the computers hooked up at the same time. And then. I'm so expensive, I know. I'm so expensive. No. No.
Don't offer him anything to do.
Revoke bathroom privileges. That's the quickest way to get me out of your house. Revoke the bathroom privileges. Typically, something like that about an hour.
Is it?
Yeah, because in your case, we probably have to reset the settings that were in it. Which is,
because I don't think I got a CD with it.
There's actually a web server built into the device.
I know.
You hook it up, your computer, you point your computer at 192.168.1.1 or something like that, and it comes up and says, oh, log in. And you look at the bottom, it says, okay, the default password is blah. And all of a sudden, you got the whole interface to reset it.
I don't have that whole screen yet. I get something, and I don't know how to fill it. I guess it's because I don't know that first thing that you said, that 1.1, blah, blah, blah.
The address, look at the bottom of the router. It's probably printed on the label on the bottom. And it's either going to be 192.168 dot something dot something.
192.168
dot something dot something. Either dot 0.1 or dot 1.1.
Okay.
Or it's going to be 10.10.0.15 or something like that.
You can call the router company.
You can look it up online.
Yeah.
If you know the model, you can look it up online. And that's what I would do. If I came over and you didn't have the manual, I would just look it up online for that broader model. It would tell me.
I've kind of gone online to, I will say.
It might. I look at the bottom.
Questions, but look on the bottom. Just to ask some questions, but they haven't quite answered mine because I never get to that screen that says, what's your password?
Right.
Change the password.
You're not getting. You're not talking to the router yet.
No.
Well, because you have to put it in place. So you have to. You know, you have to basically take the cable out of your computer. Plug it into the port on the router.
I've got them all cable. I mean, I have the
But one line goes to the modem, and then the others go out to your computers. And then once that, you should be able to do the 192.168 thing.
Yeah, maybe I don't know.
Why does she need the router number? I remember something.
You're basically talking to it. You're saying, you're hitting it like a web page. That router has a web server built into it. That when you type that address and go poink, it's like looking up a web page. Well, that web page you're looking at is the configuration system for that device.
And where do you type that in?
Into your browser address bar.
Oh.
Just like you would a website, just like you type in cnn.com. And then it hits it, and says, and that device says, oh, okay, poink, log in. Okay, what settings do you want to change? This is a series of pages.
Let's see one more time. I did log in. How do you choose your login?
There's a default password and username usually on the bottom of the thing.
You said to change the password, but don't change the other thing.
Eventually, when you're all set up, you want to have a wireless SSID. That's the name that gets broadcast out to the world. So if you're sitting at the coffee bar in an apartment, you see all the different names. You'll see a bunch of default names.
Yeah.
Pick something that means something to you, but perhaps doesn't mean something to the rest of the world. Call it, you know, Bonzo or something, you know.
Right.
But then the password to the router that allows you into that maintenance system, you should also change, because there's various exploits that can use those default passwords.
But somewhere you told me not to change one of them right now. That was, and I wrote that down.
Probably.
You said don't change the blah, 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 but don't change the blah, blah, blah right now. I don't know where that is.
It's blah, so blah, blah, clear. they're just so clear for me. They make it so easy to solve their problems. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's like that Far Side cartoon with the guy talking to the dog. You know, what the man says, Ginger, I told you not to do that, Ginger. But then all the dog hears is, blah, 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 Ginger. Blah, 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 Ginger. You know, you get too many blah, blah, blahs in there and you're going to lose me. I'm good, but I'm not that good.
On May 8th.
She's got her notepad on. I'm busted. Busted.
Change the router name.
Hey.
Default password leave for a while.
Leave for a while until we get everything set up, yes. But you do want to change that. You do want to change that because there are exploits that can, like, they know all Linksys routers use the no username password admin. And they can start to make exploits that will search for Linksys routers, log in with the default password, and change the settings, do whatever they want.
Change both.
Yeah.
That's assuming I can get in it.
That's assuming.
On my laptop, it's set at Schlechter Home. That's the one I find. And then there's another one out there that seems to get a good signal, but I don't know what it is.
Probably your neighbor.
Probably my neighbor. But
you see lots of two-wire. If you see two-wire and a number, that's AT&T uses two-wire routers. That's what they give or sell to all their clients. So that you know, you can almost guarantee they're on AT&T DSL. By the way, the last three digits in that number, it says, you know, the number 2, WIRE.
Where do you see the number? Right
in there? The list of available wireless networks when you pop them up. In fact, I showed one here. When I popped up my wireless networks here, there was someone nearby who had, we'll see if it comes back, it was really low signal, but it's a two-wire and then a number, and three numbers. The three numbers are the last three digits of the serial number of that router.
Where do you see that? I don't see where you see
it. It didn't come up this time. It just, so, for, you know, freak.
Could someone, if my Linksys has a a generic password. I don't think I ever changed anything.
Probably has a standard default password, yeah.
How do you change that?
You go into that interface we were just talking about and change the password to the router.
To find out what the router is.
Yeah, well, the link says, I can tell you, it's 192.168.1.1. Linksys, that's the default for all Linksys routers. Hmm. If you put that in your web browser, you should see a password thing that says username and password. And the password, default password, which, hold on a second, guys, admin, A-D-M-I-N. A-D-M-I-N. No username, just a password, A-D-M-I-N.
Like administration.
Hi, we're back.
Ask a question.
I have a question for that.
Then you'll get
a laptop and a desktop, so that's, what you're, that's what you're dealing with.
Yep.
I just have a desktop. I don't have a laptop. Yeah.
Well, ask a question about your laptop.
Desktop. He's just got a desktop.
Desktop.
Anyway, we are coming down to the end of our night here. It is 7:30 here in Los Angeles. I want to thank everyone for coming, as always. And some great questions. Some be thinking of stuff that you run across now. You're starting to run across your own neat services and stuff like that. Bring those with you to share. That's great. People don't need to hear me talk all the time. For more information on Live from the Library and Technology IQ and all the other neat stuff over at WelchWrite, visit WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com. If you want to go directly to Technology IQ, you can use the address right here at the bottom, WelchWrite.com/TechIQ. Thanks for joining us tonight. Always a great having you. If you have questions, please send them along to TechIQ@WelchWrite.com. I'll be glad to answer them on the show, or join us here in the chat room and leave your messages live and we'll answer them live on the air. Anyway, thanks again, everybody. Have a great night. We'll see you next time.
This show is a production of WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com.